love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who doesn't want more of these characteristics in their lives? Join us for this 9-week series exploring the fruit of the Spirit as we take a look into the book of Galatians and explore how God's Word teaches us to grow deeper in each of these virtues and why we should.
Impatience costs. Impatience costs, doesn't it? I started thinking about the ways that we pay a price for our impatience, and I just off the top of my head, I thought about things like this. You know, we pay a price for impatience in our driving, right? I won't ask you to raise your hands, but speeding tickets. What are they? They are oftentimes, maybe not always, but oftentimes the result of our impatience. Right, we're trying to get somewhere too quickly, and we end up getting a speeding ticket. We pay a price in terms of working out. I enjoy working out and exercising over the years. I've kind of been more consistent, less consistent. Whenever I've gone into a new season of working out and I've tried to do too much too fast, I end up getting too sore and blowing the whole thing, you know, and giving up way too quickly because I've tried to accomplish too much too quickly. We pay a price for impatience in our exercise, working out, diets, whatever we might be trying to do to take care of ourselves. We pay a price for impatience when we give up on things that are important to us, but they're not coming fast enough. And so we just say, enough, I quit. One of the ways this really breaks my heart is when I learn of somebody who, I tried church a couple of times, I came to a couple of worship services, and it just didn't do anything for me, and so I quit. No, that's paying a price for impatience. Because, you know, some of the most important things that we do in life require patience. And one of those things is character development and God's work in our life. You know, God doesn't normally work overnight in our lives. He builds things into us, and it takes time to make them real, and we have to give him the time to do that. We pay a price for impatience in our relationships with others. You know, we expect too much of them too soon. And when they fail us, when they disappoint us, you know, then we may get bitter or we may create barriers in our relationship. I was thinking about the story of Abraham in the Old Testament. And Abraham, you know, God promised him a son. God said, I'm going to give you a son. You trust me, you wait for me, and this son is going to come through your wife, Sarah. All right, so I'm promising you this, you just wait for it. And Abraham and Sarah reached a point of where they just couldn't wait any longer. And they took things into their own hands, and Abraham had a child with his servant instead of his wife, and it created a lot of tension in that family. And throughout the centuries, it's continued to be a source of tension between those two children and their descendants. There's a price we pay for impatience in our relationships. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, I am not a naturally patient person. I'm really not. This week I was in a group thing, and the leader asked, you know, what is something about you that people would assume to be true, but you know better? You know that it's not really true. And I thought of two things. One is that I always have it all together. People have told me that. Believe me, I do not always have it all together, okay? I really don't. But the other is that people think I'm incredibly patient. I am not incredibly patient. Any patience you see in me, okay, is the fruit of God's Spirit at work in me and my efforts to cooperate with God's Spirit in me. I'm like the little boy, who drove his mother crazy one day. He was jumping all over the house, just jump, 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 jump. And after a while, she ran out of patience and she said, enough, I want you to sit down now. And so he went over and he sat down and he looked at his mother and he said, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm jumping on the inside. I feel like that a lot. Like, you know, okay, I'm looking patient. I want to look patient. I want to, you know, be patient. But inside, I'm just kind of like revved up, you know, and I got all kinds of things going on in me. And so patience doesn't come naturally to me. Maybe it doesn't come naturally to a lot of us. Well, if that's true for you, then maybe this message will have something for you today. Here's a quote about patience from Charles Spurgeon, 1800s preacher, great preacher. He said, "Patience is a grace, as difficult as it is necessary, and as hard to come by as it is precious when it's gained." So there you have it. You know, he's saying what we all know. It's hard to become patient, but it's so good, isn't it? Isn't it? Doesn't it just feel right when we reach a place where, or maybe a period of time where we just, you know, I can be patient. I can wait here, and it's good. Let me start exploring this a little bit from the Bible with some verses from Psalm 40. Psalm 40, if you want to turn to them, I'm going to read the first three verses. This is a psalm written by David. A psalm is a song. So this is something David wrote to the Lord. We don't know the context. We don't know what was going on in his life when he wrote this. And I think that's a good thing, because it means when we hear these words, we can apply them to whatever situation we're going through that is trying our patience. Okay? So let's read through this, the Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." So let me draw out a couple of things from this. And the first is this. Patience is called for when we are most inclined to be impatient. Have you ever fallen into a slimy pit? Have you ever? I have, actually. I grew up on a farm, and behind our farm, there was a swamp. And as a kid, I went back to those woods one day where the swamp was, and I noticed this large tree had fallen in the swamp, okay? It was laying in the swamp. So, you gotta, who said that? Thank you, a brother in spirit. Thank you, Tom. Absolutely, you gotta walk on it. You have to walk on it. It's just laying there for you, right? It's an invitation. So that's what I did. I got up on that tree and I began to walk across, you know, down that tree, and I slipped and fell into the swamp, right up to my neck. I mean, I was, right? I wanted to get out of that swamp as quickly as possible, right? Well, that's a literal take on what David's here. But David isn't in a literal swamp. I'm sure of that. He's not in a literal pit. But he is in a life pit. He's in a place in life he doesn't want to be. It's uncomfortable. It's messy. He doesn't know how to get out of it. He can't get out of it on his own, okay? But he just knows he wants out of it as quickly as possible. And what does he say? "I waited patiently for the Lord." So patience is called for when we are most inclined to be impatient. Secondly, patience doesn't necessarily mean activity. While David is struggling in this pit that he's in, he doesn't just do nothing. He tells us exactly what he does. He says, he cried out to the Lord. He says, he turned to me and heard my cry. So we know he cried out to God. He cried out to God. He didn't just toss off a prayer to God. He cried out to the Lord. "God, I'm in a pit. I hate it here. I don't want to be here. I can't get myself out. Lord, get me out of this. Hear my prayer. Do something, please." And it says as he's crying out that he's waiting patiently for God to act. Being patient doesn't mean we're inactive. It doesn't mean we're sitting around doing nothing. We should be at least crying out to God, praying for his help, also listening for God, and looking for how God might be acting in this, in the things around me, but also within me. What is God changing in me as I go through this experience that I'm going through? It also doesn't mean God's inactive. Just because God isn't acting the way that we want him to in the moment doesn't mean he's not doing something that we may not even see yet, but we'll see later. Well, God does act for David, and the next point that I want to make is this. Patience with God will eventually become praise to God, because God brings him out of the mud, out of the mire, sets his feet on a rock, on a firm place, and then he says in verse 3, "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God." We will never be happier, right, than when we get out of the pit. Right? In the moments and the hours and the days after we've gotten out of the pit and we're in a firm place and we're standing solidly again, right? We feel such joy, such praise. The question, the mystery is, why does that disappear so quickly? You know, what happens to that praise? We need to remember the times that God has brought us out of the pit and put us in a firm place. That will invigorate our songs of praise to God. David sings a song of praise. And then the last thing that I'll draw out of this passage is that patience is a powerful witness to the goodness of God. Not only does something happen to David, but David recognizes that many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him because David is singing his songs of praise to the God who saved him from the pit. David waited for God to act. God did act. David is praising God for that, and people are going to see that, and they'll wonder, might God do that for me too? Let me give you a definition of patience. To be patient means to be able to wait for something without complaining about the wait. To wait for something without complaining. Actually, after I wrote up this message, I thought about a simpler way to put it. Patience is waiting without whining. Waiting without whining. WWW. Okay? Easy way to remember it. This is a no whining zone. If you're visiting with us today, I just need to tell you, this church is a no whining zone, right? I'd like you all to raise your hands. Raise your right hands. Yeah, some of you are like obstinate, okay? Or you're not sure where I'm going. I promise not to whine while I wait. Ah, you're committed now. That's what waiting is, though. That's what patient waiting is. It's waiting without whining. It's not waiting without praying. It's not waiting without crying out. We see that. We just saw that with David. David cried out to the Lord. That's not whining. That's not whining. That's asking God for help. That's recognizing my dependence on God, my need of God, that God is the only one who can help me, and I am reaching out to him. That's not whining. Whining, you know what whining is. When are we going to get there? How much longer? You asked me that 5 minutes ago. Yeah, how much longer? Right? I don't like this. I don't want to be here. Is he ever going to stop talking? Is this service over yet? That's whining, right? Prayer is different. Crying out to God is different. Crying out to God is, God, I need you. God, I'm stuck without you. I am lost without you. I'm depending on you, and I know I can trust you. Job cried out to the Lord. When Job went through his trials, he cried out to God. It's not whining, okay? So patience is waiting without whining. Let me give you some things that the Bible says about patience. Patience is a product of wisdom. Proverbs 19:11, a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. You want to be more patient, become more wise. You want to be more wise, be more curious, okay? When you're in a situation and you don't know when you're going to get out of it or how you're going to get out of it or what's going on, start to ask questions. Lord, what are you doing here? What's going on? What do you want me to learn from this? When you're being impatient with somebody else, start to ask questions. Lord, what might be going on with this person? What's underneath the things right now that are causing me to feel impatient towards them? Help me to understand them better. Help me to pray for them. Help me to love them. You want more patience? The Bible says get more wisdom. Secondly, the next one. Patience is a path to peace. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Do you know people who can step into a hot situation and they just bring down the temperature? They just bring it down. Right? They calm things down. They help people find solutions. They make things better. Right? Hot-tempered people are typically impatient people. Patient people, on the other hand, are those who can bring calmness to conflict. Patience is a means of persuading, the Bible tells us. Proverbs 25:15, through patience a ruler can be persuaded. And I'm going to turn this one just a little bit and talk about the patience is a kind of persistence. When we are patient, we are able to be persistent. We're able to persevere. We're able to push through and get to things. And I want to introduce you to one of the best teachers in my life on persistence or patience. Here's a picture of my son, Matthew. Matthew was our firstborn child. If you've been here a while, you've heard me say a little bit about him before, but I don't think I've ever showed you a picture of him. Matthew was born with brain damage of unknown cause. And so it took Matthew a long time to learn things that come naturally to children, okay? And for example, it took Matt 5 years to learn to crawl. Think about that. 5 years to learn to crawl, all right? And it was at Christmas time when he did it. It was really very cool. I'll go into the story at length some other time. I think I've shared a bit of it before. But, you know, what Matthew taught me is to persevere, to not quit, and that sometimes we just have to be patient while we're waiting for the good things to come, right? What did I say at the beginning of this message? Sometimes we miss out because we're so impatient, we give up, you know? I watched Matt, you know, learn over months just to be able to push himself up on his arms. And months more to learn to put an arm ahead and move a leg. Okay? And more months to pull himself, right? That's patience. That's perseverance. And the Bible says you can persuade rulers through patience. And what it's saying is you can accomplish great things, things you never thought possible, if you will be patient for them. The next thing, patience, the first quality that Paul lists when describing love, 1 Corinthians 13:4. You know, this kind of hit me when I read this, preparing for this message. Love is patient. Stop there. It's the very first quality that Paul talks about when he talks about love. You want to know the depth of your love for others? What's the depth of your patience? What is the depth of your patience for them? When they are trying you, when they are aggravating you, I hope he's not listening, when your grandson is up all night, right? Making noise and you don't get much sleep, you know? What's the level of your patience for them? Love is patient. The next one. One of the perfect characteristics of God. Psalm 86:15. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And there's the patience of God. He is slow to anger. You know, God's incredibly patient with us. Incredibly patient with us. Some of you, God had been calling you for years, decades, before you gave your life over to Jesus Christ. Some of you, God is still calling. He's been calling you and calling you and calling you, and he is still calling and he's waiting patiently for you to give your life to Christ. God is very, very patient with us. You know, there's a picture of Jesus in Revelation. He says, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. What is he saying? I'm standing here and I will continue to stand here and I will continue to knock. And all you have to do is open that door and we will have fellowship with one another. But I'm not going away. I'm not going away. I'm going to wait. I'm waiting for you. God is very patient with us. Aren't you glad God is patient with us? Aren't you glad that God doesn't just say, enough, I've had it with you, I'm walking away? He doesn't. Now, that day will come. I have to be clear. There will be a day when Christ comes back and judges the whole earth, the Bible tells us, and there will be a day when we will have no more opportunity to receive Christ as our Savior. But that day is not today. Today, we have the opportunity. Today, God is calling to us, and if you haven't answered his call, I would just ask you, please, consider it right now. Open the door, let Jesus into your life, receive him as your Savior. And then when you come take communion, it'll be an incredible event for you in just a little bit. When do we most need patience? Well, we need patience when we're in the midst of a trial. Naturally, Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We need patience when we are seeking to help others. 2 Timothy says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Said this before, but it was kind of a surprise to me when I was a new dad and my children were getting older, and I thought, you know, you tell them something once, they're smart kids, right? They'll get it, and that's it. We will never have to repeat that lesson again. How many of you know that's not true, right? How many times have we talked about this, right? Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Next, we need patience when people challenge and concern us. Now, I know we had this verse last week, but it was so good, I wanted to bring it back, and it fits, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And then finally, we need patience when we're waiting on God to act. As for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Some of you are in the situation right now. You're in the pit. You're waiting for God to do something. You can't do anything about the situation that you're in, and you're just calling out to God, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're waiting for God to act. And you need God's patience. You need the patience of the Holy Spirit to carry you through that. And God will give that to you. He promises it to you if you ask for it. Two thoughts as we look to wrap this up. Two thoughts about how we might become more patient. In order to become more patient, first remember God's patience with us. I love this verse. Come to it a few times over the past 5 years that I've been back here. 1 Timothy 1:15, 16. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Don't stop there. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. What is Paul saying? Among the other things that he's saying this: nobody was further away from Christ than me. That's what Paul is saying. Nobody was further away from a relationship with Jesus Christ than me. If you don't know about the story about Paul, Paul was actively hunting down, arresting, and putting to death Christians. He wanted to stamp out everything to do with Jesus Christ. But God showed his immense patience towards Paul. He poured his love out on Paul. He poured his grace out on Paul. And he called Paul into a relationship with himself. And Paul is saying, if God will do that for me, he'll do that for anybody. God loves you. He's demonstrated that through Jesus Christ. And he's calling you into relationship with Jesus. And then the second thing we need to do if we want to become... Oh, I'm sorry. I missed this quote. Thank you. John, our God is a God of the second chance. Learn from one who is patient with you, and you'll learn to be patient with others. So the more we reflect on how God has been patient with me, the more patient I will be with other people. All right? Now the next one. In order to become more patient, keep growing in our trust of God. Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah is looking ahead to a day when fatigue and tiredness and impatience and anger and annoyance and all of those things are a thing of the past. He's saying that day is going to come when we will not get tired again. We won't feel impatient anymore. It'll all be gone. That day's going to come. That's not today either. Today we do struggle and we do experience those things. But God does not. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't stumble. He doesn't fall. He's here for you to strengthen you, to pick you up, to forgive you when you've been impatient, when you've stumbled, to love you through, and through his Holy Spirit, to make you more and more like his son Jesus, who's incredibly patient with all of us. Here's a quote from Sinclair Ferguson: the Lord has his own timetable. It's we who must learn to adjust to it, not vice versa. We're going to go to communion. But let's pray before we do. Lord, we do thank you for your incredible patience towards us. Too many of us are like children who just want our own way and our own time, and we want it now. But you have been so tolerant, so forgiving, and so persistent, and we praise you for that. Thank you for showing us this grace. And help us to grow in it ourselves. Help us to be patient with one another, because we all stumble, we all fall. Help us to be patient with one another, and help us to be patient with you. And give us eyes to see what you're doing, even when we're going through the trial. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love in Jesus Christ, our Savior.